Welcome back to the StoryCorps podcast from NPR, and welcome officially to the first episode of our very first season. I'm your host, Jasmine Morris. As always, you can think of this podcast as your weekly dose of humanity, something we could all use a little more of these days. Over the next 12 weeks, we'll be returning to you with new unscripted conversations between real people. And in the spirit of getting reacquainted, we'll be focusing on stories of reunions, what drives us apart and brings us back together. We start with Courtney McKinney, who was raised by a single mom and spent the majority of her childhood wondering who her father was.
Do you remember how old I was when I really started asking questions?
Well, you were always inquisitive. At 4 or 5, you were like, where are the dinosaurs in the Bible? You know, then you started noticing everybody else had dads.
In this episode, what it's like to spend years searching for a father, only to find someone you didn't even know you were looking for.
When I got your message, I just started crying. And when we actually met for the very first time, when you ran up and hugged me, just the intense feelings inside, I just knew.
I'm Jasmine Morris. Stay with us.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Foundation Centers FDO. If you're a nonprofit looking for a grant, use FDO to find your next funder. New subscribers get 10% off any annual plan at fdo.org/NPR using promo code NPR10.
Pamela McKinney grew up in the 60s with 4 brothers and sisters and dreamed she'd eventually get married and have several kids of her own. Well, it wasn't that easy. But she did go on to have a child, her daughter Courtney, and she raised her as a single mom.
So what do you remember of a story I tell you about your dad?
That his name was Charles, and he was white, and you guys had a brief relationship, and it didn't work out. And I just really distinctly remember not believing it. Do you remember how old I was when I really started asking questions?
Well, you were always inquisitive. At 4 or 5, you were like, where are the dinosaurs in the Bible? You know, then you started noticing everybody else had dads. And that's when I introduced the Charles thing. I didn't think I would have to do it that quickly, but I did. And so same story that I'd given everyone else, I gave to you.
We talked so deeply about everything else. That's kind of like a staple of our relationship. And I could sense that you were cutting it off. What made you decide that you needed to tell me the truth?
It was never a thought in my mind that I was not going to tell you the truth. I was just trying to find the right year, the right time. But I knew when you were 16, ready to start dating, I said, you know what? I think this might be a good time.
Do you remember how you told me?
Yes, when I was pregnant. I put my video camera in front of me and, you know, just poured my heart out. And I said everything I felt back then.
On this VHS tape, Pamela is singing to her daughter. She tells her, you are a masterpiece. She's trying to convey how much she loves the life growing inside her, a life that was growing not because of a relationship with Charles, but because of an anonymous sperm donor.
Did your feelings about me change once you learned what had actually happened?
No, I was just angry that for so long I didn't know the truth. I felt like a freak being a donor kid. I had never, ever met anyone who that was their story. And growing up, my father was kind of like a hands-off subject. Like it was just something we didn't talk about. And that turned into shame for me.
Courtney internalized all of this. She lived with a ton of questions about her identity, but had no one to ask. She's biracial, her mom is black, but there weren't many options for black sperm donors at the cryobank in 1989. So Courtney knew she had a white father, but that was it. Over the years, she contacted the cryobank 3 times searching for information, an old photograph, medical records, anything. Once she did get on the phone with an employee who remembered him, but this woman, the gatekeeper to her father, could only tell Courtney how nice he was. And then Courtney learned about DNA testing kits, where you send in a sample of your DNA, and a few weeks later, receive information about your family history.
What did it feel like when you knew that I wanted to contact him?
You know what? The only thing I felt is that he gave me a gift, and I wanted to respect his
anonymity.
Yes. Yeah. Like if he had gotten married or have children, I wouldn't think it was fair for them to be affected by a decision I made, although he made the decision also.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was thinking about in 20-something years, there could be a swab that could decide, find out. You know what I'm saying?
The reason I got on the DNA sites was to find him. And so to have these conflicting feelings like, oh, wait, but if I actually do that, I could hurt someone, even though I've been hurting for so long. It's really confusing.
It's complicated. Courtney never signed up for this. And technically, neither did the anonymous donor. Back in the 80s and 90s, confidentiality agreements were often put in place if the donor didn't want to be contacted, which Courtney's did not. But these DNA testing kits are, in a way, creating this really interesting workaround where children can take matters into their own hands. The terms of service for one of these DNA sites says, you may learn information about yourself that you do not anticipate. This information may evoke strong emotions and has the potential to alter your life and worldview. You may discover things about yourself that trouble you and that you may not have the ability to control or change. But for Courtney, the idea of discovering family and more about who she is was worth the risk. Shortly after she submitted her sample, she got a match. More after the short break.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers and a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. The Ascent also features standard symmetrical all-wheel drive for added confidence in all-weather conditions. The Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Learn more at Subaru.com.
More than 20 years. That's how long Olympic gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar abused the girls and women who came to see him for treatment. Believed, a new podcast from Michigan Radio and NPR, digs into how he got away with it for so long.
After years of searching for her father, Courtney learned she had a half-sister.
So I messaged you and I was like, any chance that you had a donor as a father?
When I got your message, I just started crying.
That's Alexandra Sanchez. Like Courtney, she'd been told a similar story about her father and learned the truth at 15.
Hearing your voice for the first time was amazing, to say the least. I always wished for siblings. That's the one thing I always dreamt of. So when we actually met for the very first time, when you ran up and hugged me, just the intense feelings inside, I just knew.
We went to go have lunch, and I think there was just a lot of processing.
I remember thinking, this is the first time I get to have a beer with my sister. I grew up thinking that I looked exactly like my mother until I met you. I remember us looking at each other and saying, oh, you have freckles.
Yeah.
And of course, the smile and the way our chins curve. I remember getting in the car and my husband said, I have a sister-in-law. And I was thinking, could this all be true?
I just look forward to learning how to be a sister. It's such a weird thing to do at 28 years old.
It's something we both have a learning to do in. We didn't get to grow up together, but we will get to grow old together.
That's Alexandra Sanchez and her sister, Courtney McKinney, who met for the first time earlier this year. Of course, not all biological family members want to be reunited, Courtney's father being one of them. She hasn't been able to track him down anyway. But ultimately, that mystery surrounding her dad's side of the family is no longer a source of shame for Courtney. And this new relationship with her sister has actually helped strengthen the one with her mother.
One of the things that has been really eye-opening finding my sister has been having her say just how much she admires our relationship and how much you allowed me to spread my wings while both being protective of me. And I feel like I really now at 28 see the benefits of all of that.
I know you felt like I was lying all these years because I was embarrassed, but it definitely was not embarrassment. I'm really sorry for the shame you felt. That was never my intent. But looking back, I don't know if I would have did it different because my job was to protect you. I did want to be a mom. It may not have been the traditional way, but there's never one day, one moment that I said, God, what did I get myself into? You have just been the light of my life.
I love you.
I love you too.
That's it for this week's episode. Thanks to producers Aisha Turner and Judd S.D. Kendall, as well as our engineer David Herman, script editor Danielle Roth, and special thanks to StoryCorps facilitator Kevin Oliver. If you want to leave a voicemail for anyone you've heard on this podcast, give us a call at 301-744-TALK. That's 301-744-TALK. And tell us what you think. Write us a review wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what music we used in this episode and to sign up for your own interview, visit our website, StoryCorps.org. For the StoryCorps podcast, I'm Jasmine Morris. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this podcast. If you love to find and hear great new music, but you don't know where to start, let All Songs Considered be your guide. It's NPR's weekly music discussion and discovery podcast with tons of new songs and artists to fall in love with. Hear All Songs Considered in the NPR One app or wherever you listen to podcasts.